Well, thank you all. You all can go ahead and take a seat. And I am going to do one thing because we were singing about this in the song, and I'm like, oh no, the star isn't lit. So how can we sing about the star? And it's magic, right? Like I said, Amazon batteries do magic here. So welcome, Stable Life Church. I am glad that you're here with us today. Everybody eat well over the Christmas holiday. Yeah. Okay, who are our ham people versus our turkey people? Ham people? Ham? Christmas ham? Turkey? Lasagna? Or other? Okay, yeah, we have other, right? We have lots and lots of things. So I'm glad you're here with us today. It's always the Sunday after Christmas is always kind of like that pause in our schedule, in our week after the holiday. I'm Pastor Chris, by the way. If it is your first time with us, your first time here in person, or if you're online with us joining, just a big hello. And yes, I am wearing my fancy Christmas light pajamas because I can. So that's where we go today. So if you are among the pajamaed, I guess I'm making up that word, I just want to invite you to hang out just for a moment after the service. I want to take a picture up here so that way next year we can like warn people ahead of time, but also like you will feel like you're not going to be the only one and everybody else is like dressed up. But anyway, it's just kind of fun. Good way to end the old year. And I've seen people everything from walking their dogs to going shopping in their pajamas as of yet. So, and I know several, you know, if you're a school teacher, kids come to school in pajamas all year long, but that's okay. So, but anyway, like many of us, I find kind of the shift after Christmas a bit jarring, don't you? Like, it's kind of like Christmas Day comes, and like you celebrate however you're able to, or maybe you had to work this Christmas, or things look a little bit different with your family, or maybe it was a really joyous occasion that that you were able to celebrate together. But is it like the day after Christmas, like everything kind of like changes real quick? Like everything's closed on Christmas, and then all of a sudden like traffic's back, and like wall-to-wall people, not so much as previous years, but people take things back to stores to return, all that kind of thing. And you and I both know that the world is just so eager to move on from things. I mean, even think about like the news, right? Like something happens and like 2 days later, it's like gone out of memory, sight, out of mind. Like you're just into the next thing. That we're so eager to move on. And, you know, here we are just a few days after Christmas. Like most radio stations, if you have any favorites, like music is gone away already, back to their normal, you know, 80s, 90s, and all your favorites, that kind of thing, right? And get this, in stores, I witnessed this yesterday, in stores, what displays are already up? Valentine's and Easter, if you get it right. And go and get your Cadbury bunnies already. Like, well, you're like, it's been like 2 days, right? It's just kind of crazy. The President's Day sales are almost on display, too, for all your washers and dryers and refrigerators and whatnot. But, you know, it's a reminder that we often rush so much and we focus on the anticipation, but we forget to savor the experience. We forget to sit in the moment. To treasure and to ponder. There's so many forces around us that seek to pull us out of the very present and already into the future, right? You ever feel that way? Like you're almost like, hey, where did Christmas go, right? Where did Thanksgiving go? Halloween was just here, right? It's just like go, go, go. You go on and on and on, and we're kind of outside of the present and then into the next thing, into the future. And that's where it takes commitment and focus and discipline to be present in the present. Do you have a hard time being present in the present? Like the thing in front of you, the people in front of you, the gathering in front of you, the event or experience in front of you. You know, I know I have a hard time, especially with, I have it over at my seat, my phone, right? Dinging and telling me that what is going on someplace else. Like, do you have a hard time being fully present in the present? And thinking about that, you know, how do we be fully present in the present? How do we hold on to that which we receive in the season? In a world that's constantly moving on to the very next thing and the next thing and the next thing, how do we hold on to the present? Well, before today, I want to explore what's a beautiful tradition that invites us to do just that, to be fully present in the present. And that's this tradition in the church called the 12 days of Christmas. So sometimes people celebrate the 12 days of Christmas before Christmas, they're wrong. Don't correct them. But, you know, people like that kind of countdown kind of thing. But it's the 12 days of Christmas after Christmas. And get this, it actually has roots in the early church. In the church, starting about 567 AD was when the 12 days of Christmas began being celebrated by Christians. And the idea was not to just rush on to the next thing, but to fully enjoy the gift of the present. And that the Christmas season is a season. It's not just a day, but that rather it's a season that extends those 12 days. And that it's the 12 days from Christmas until the Epiphany, traditionally January 6th, the arrival of the Magi. That we have to recognize, too, that by the time the Magi showed up, Jesus is already like 2 years old at that point. So it's not like a consecutive chronological experience connected to Christmas. But that's kind of where we celebrate the end of the Christmas season. 12 days after, Jesus is about 2 or 3 years old when the Magi arrive to worship and honor him. Magi are wise men, if you will. But it helps us to recognize, though, that time can lapse and stretch in the mind of God. That so often we are just so focused on the seconds and the minutes and the hours and the days. But in the mind of God, those things move at different speeds. But it's important for us to take a moment to reflect on what's happened in the manger scene, on what's transpired in Christmas. And so in the 12 days of Christmas, the early church, the Christians in that time, they would take time to reflect on the mystery of the incarnation. Incarnation means that God took on flesh. God became 100% a human being, 100% God and 100% human. Like, how does that work? If you've wrestled with that question, you're not alone. People have done for centuries. But to reflect on that, what does that mean? What does that mean for me? What does that mean for the people I know? What does that mean for the world? Like, to take time to reflect on that, and it's really a crazy thing when you try to wrap your mind around that. It's awe-inspiring. It's exciting. And so the Christian church, would they have a fine time of feasting, right? Who don't like your hams and your turkeys, right? And your lasagnas, your Christmas lasagnas, right? Time of feasting and fellowship and reflection. And so in a world that wants us to move on to the next thing, Christmas, the 12 days of Christmas, the Christmas season, offers us really a countercultural rhythm to linger in the joy and the wonder and the mystery of Christ's birth. And I think it's important because there's spiritual power in doing that. There's spiritual power in pondering, in treasuring, taking time to reflect on the moments, to be fully present here and now before moving on to the next thing and what do you got planned for next week and when the kids go back to school and the thing that's going on at work and what January 16th brings and all those things, but to be fully present now where God is and to thank him, to look back, to be in the present, and to prepare for the future. And I think there's nobody better who knew this better than Mary. In the story of Christmas, nobody knew this better than Mary. And Luke's gospel, right? We have 4 accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus. There are 2 that tell the story of Christmas, Luke and Matthew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Luke and Matthew are the ones that tell us, Luke tells us the story of Mary from Mary's perspective, what happened to Mary. Matthew tells us really from Joseph's perspective or what happened with Joseph. And usually most of the time our manger scenes and everything kind of bring those 2 stories together. Not a bad thing, but they're just 2 separate accounts. Well, Luke's gospel, he gives the most attention to Mary's story than the other gospels. And what we see, this is really interesting. What we see is that not once, but twice around the birth of Jesus, Mary is mentioned to ponder things in her heart. Maybe you've read the Bible before, have you? And maybe come upon that or noticed that. Not once, but twice with the Christmas story of Jesus' birth right in the middle is where she ponders things in her heart. The first time, let's look at the first time. The first time is after the shepherds visited. So on that Christmas night, on that night when Jesus was born, we see that the shepherds are summoned by the angel. The angel, the whole choir of angels is singing and summoning them to go to Bethlehem and to go and see the Messiah who is born. And they show up and visit, and you imagine their excitement. That's what Luke tells us. Like, they were just crazy excited, right? Like these were the low-class people, the people that were considered to be too messed up, too far gone, had the lowest of all jobs, cleaning after the poo, right? Who cleans up after the poo? The people that you don't want to do that, so you let other people do that, right? The people that everybody in society had written off were the first ones to be invited to see Jesus in the manger. Crazy, right? So they show up. They're super stoked. They are just ecstatic. They can't believe what they're seeing. They can't believe the angel experience. And so what do? They run off and they go tell everybody about it. And they're like, we can't keep this silent. This is amazing. The birth of Messiah, it has happened here. And so right after the announcements of the shepherds, between the excitement and the announcement of the shepherds, is this little line that says this: but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Luke 2:19, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. What was Mary treasuring and pondering, do you think? Think about that. The words that were spoken to her by the angel 9 months ago, she pondering all that had transpired, that Joseph, learning about her pregnancy, decided not to dismiss her, but rather to take her as his wife and to journey with her to Bethlehem. Maybe part of her journey to see Elizabeth, her cousin, right? To see Elizabeth, who had a miraculous birth of her own. I mean, Elizabeth is of age. That's what the scripture says. She's old. She's past childbearing age. And all of a sudden, boom, she's having a baby. And the two women connect and relate and rejoice over what is taking place here. Mary's treasuring and pondering all that had happened, but I think even more, how God's promises had been fulfilled. How God keeps his promises. Did you know that? God keeps his promises. And so she pondered about those things. The Greek word that says ponder, that we translate ponder, it means a deep reflection about what is happening. About what has happened, but also what was happening right before her. So Mary, she took time to stop, to process, to internalize, to understand the magnitude of God's presence right there in her arms, even if she didn't fully understand it, right? Like, she didn't know what was going to happen in the future at all. I don't think she was worried or thinking about that, but she was pondering. She was trying to understand God's presence right in front of her, and then what was going to happen, right? But then, get this, in the same chapter, if you just flip forward just a couple pages or even just a couple paragraphs, we see in the same chapter in Luke that 12 years later, a lot has happened, right? You go a couple paragraphs and 12 years has taken place. And there's a story of when Jesus is a boy, he's 12 years old at this point, and his parents take him to the temple in Jerusalem and he gets lost. Well, actually, they leave him, right? There's a big crowd, and the parents, they're ready to leave Jerusalem, and it's like Mary's like, Joseph, where's Jesus? Oh, he's with Joseph. And then Joseph's like, no, he's with Mary. And before long, they realize, who has the kid, right? It's like Home Alone, the original Home Alone. Who has the kid? Well, guess where Jesus is? He's back in the temple teaching the really smart religious people. What, this 12-year-old? Crazy, right? And they understand what he's saying, and he's just like wise beyond his years. And he's teaching them. And then we're told this. Luke says this. And then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother, Jesus' mother, treasured all these things in her heart. See that repeated phrase, in her heart? And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Mary takes time to ponder, to be present in that moment. She sits, she treasures. Perhaps she knew that something was up ahead, something that God would be doing, even if she didn't know exactly what. See, looking back can be important because it helps us to stay centered, to be prepared for what is to come. And I think Mary knew the power of treasuring and pondering and to taking the pause, the time to do so. To sit in the moment before rushing off to the next and to reflect, to rejoice, and to look for where God had showed up. So I just want to take a few moments here in our service for you to answer that question for yourself. You know, what is one thing or moment or person or something that you treasure or are grateful for from this past year. Maybe it's something that is right in front of you. Maybe it's something that has taken place. So what is one thing or moment or person or place that you can treasure? Maybe you have a bunch of them, but what is one that you can treasure or are grateful for, grateful to God for from this past year? And what I'd like to do is to have you take a minute to just think about that. And then what I want you to do is to turn to a neighbor. And maybe if you are sitting by yourself, some of the extroverted people, if you would look around and make sure nobody's by themselves, but introduce yourself, say hello. And just to briefly share with that person, what is that thing that you can treasure, you are grateful for, looking back as you sit in the present? Okay, so we're just going to take a couple of minutes to do this. Those of you guys online, feel free in the chat to type that, and I'm going to go to my phone, and I'm going to respond to some of those things too. So we're just going to take about 2 to 3 minutes to do that together, and then I'm going to bring everybody back together, and if you do feel comfortable, and we're going to have a couple people just share. What is one thing that you treasure or are grateful for from the past year? So just take a time to do that, and then we'll be back together. Okay, well, hopefully you had a chance together to do that, but I want to invite you to be intentional about that in the next day, coming days, this little pause, whether you have to go to work or not, but this time in between Christmas and New Year, to be fully open and present in the present. Be fully open and present in the present. That you would take this time as an invitation to ponder and to treasure, and to not look like, oh, I need to move on to the next thing, or some of those of us that are like type A, right? We feel guilty for pausing and pondering and treasuring, but to be intentional about doing that. And in your worship guide, if you took one, or those of you guys online, it's posted online, there's some suggestions, some other ideas about how to do that, to maybe if you journal or like to write, to write one thing that you're grateful for from this past season or year, just similarly to what we did here. A moment, a gift, a time, experience, a person. But also, if you are a writer or want to reflect, what is one lesson that you've learned? Because even the hard things can be great gifts and great lessons to us in God's hands. So what is one lesson that you've learned from that time? But I also encourage you to do something simple. Keep listening to Christmas music. Don't turn it off just yet. Maybe you have a favorite song or a carol that you like to sing. Just play it a couple more times. Or maybe to spend some time in nature. I know it's been like icy and cold and that kind of thing. But to go outside, to look at God's creation, especially in these cold winter months when everything seems dormant, but is not dead, but that is really alive. To be reminded of God's great power around you, to be intentional about pondering and being in the Christmas season for the full 12 days. I invite you to participate in Mary's pondering, knowing that Christmas is actually a great beginning. It's not an ending. It's not a series finale, but rather it's a pilot season for what is to come. And so we take the time to pause and be present and to reflect, because those are the things that can then propel us to a more committed, loving life that's centered on Jesus in the days ahead. It's not the culmination or the ending, even if you're sad about Christmas being over, but rather it's a new beginning for what is to come. And opening the present, being fully present in the present, helps us decide how we will carry God's story with us and to do so together. So I invite you to do that. To reflect, to not be afraid of treasuring and pondering, and to know that through those moments, often God speaks in those quiet times, through the stillness and silence in our hearts.